Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
He said, everyone that is, let me read it. My goodness. I'm trying to catch my breath. Matthew 11 verse 28. See what the Bible says. It said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. So the first rest is the rest we receive based on the finished works of Christ. Because we receive forgiveness free of charge. We receive eternal life free of charge. We receive peace with God free of charge. But there is another rest. This one is for your soul. The first rest is for your spirit. The second rest is for your soul. He said, take my yoke upon you. So now that you have received rest, you've got to take my yoke. Because you need to carry the cross to deal with these three forces that don't want you to live as a reasonable believer. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. The second type of rest, you get it by taking his yoke upon you. That yoke is the cross. Because if you don't take the cross and follow him, those three forces will make sure that you are an unreasonable Christian. The first of those forces is the flesh. This is why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He said, the life I now live in the flesh, I do not live by myself or unto myself. I live for him that died for me. But for him to live that life in the flesh, he had to be crucified with Christ. So the flesh must be crucified. Because if the flesh is not crucified, it will be impossible to live the reasonable life. It will be impossible to live as a living sacrifice. It will be impossible. And this is not an easy task. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. That's why you are called a living sacrifice. That means you are being circumcised while you are alive. You are feeling the pain. There's no sedating. Abraham circumcised himself as an old man. He took stones and circumcised himself. So when you are dealing with the flesh, it is painful. It's a journey of death and self-denial. Many believers think because they are forgiven, the flesh will sleep. No, the flesh will not sleep. You will deploy of the resources of the spirit to mortify the flesh. You will beat the body and bring it under subjection. So many times, your body will want to rebel. You will bring it under subjection by taking a long fast. You'll go on a 40 days fast, not because you are looking for an encounter. The body is going out of proportion. And so you want to bring it under the government of the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Ghost can mortify it. That is you taking the cross to deal with the flesh. Sometimes your heart is going haywire. You are beginning to love things that you didn't love before. You will lock yourself indoors and pray in tongues for 48 hours. While you start praying that kind of prayer, 1 hour will look like 1 year. The reason is because you have departed from the presence. You are beginning to love other things. But you will stay there. And you are groaning, you are groaning, you are groaning until you will break the flesh. You will starve it, you will break it, you will kill it. And so in the place of prayer or fasting, you will cross a threshold where the Holy Ghost will ventilate you. If you don't pay that price, You can never live a holy life. You can never live as a reasonable Christian. That's why when men stop praying, they start sinning. And when men start praying, they stop sinning. Because it is carrying the flesh to crucify the body. Because your flesh will make sure you are proven to be an unreasonable Christian. This is why the first journey of the cross is to crucify the flesh. Two simple ways of doing this, I explain to you quickly, just to give you a scriptural reference. Number one, the Bible said to bring your thought into captivity. Because when a man is of the flesh, the first way to dictate it is through carnal mindedness. He doesn't like the things of the spirit. The Bible said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He said, the carnal mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So when a man is in the flesh, it is his appetites that reveal to you that is in the flesh. And so the first way to deal with the flesh is to arrest the mind. And how do you do it? You take your thoughts into captivity. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, the Bible says, casting down imagination. It will take a lot of biblical meditation to cast down imagination. Sometimes those thoughts will be wagging through your mind. You want to talk to that girl. You want to talk to that boy. You want to carry your phone and send a message. When your mind is wobbling around, in order to cast it down, sometimes you may go and sit on the scripture for 4 hours. And you are talking the scripture to yourself. You are talking the scriptures to yourself. Or you are praying in tongues until you bring that anxiety under subjection. He said, casting down imagination and every high standing thing that opposes itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ. The reason many people are weak to the flesh is because they don't cast down imagination. They allow those thoughts grow until it overwhelms them and they become a slave of evil thoughts. But when a man wants to use the cross to bury the flesh, what he will do is that he will insist through the instrument of the Spirit to mortify those thoughts by arresting them. The second way to deal with carnal mindedness or the way of the flesh is by the renewing of the mind. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by changing the set of information in your mind using the word of God. So the way to deal with the flesh, the way to beat your body and bring it under subjection, is to dig into the word until the word becomes your mindset. Many young men say they are tempted by women. How come you are not tempted by your sister? So women is not your problem. It's the information that is wrong. Because you know that there is no way in the world that you should be sexually attracted to your sister. So no matter how many years you live with your sister, you never desire her once. The reason you are desiring another person is because you don't know that the person you met in church is not a girl, it's your sister. The word of God is what we teach you, that every other girl in church is also your sister. Because you are not just from your biological family, you also have a spiritual family. And when you see church as your spiritual family, appetites will die. It will take renewing of the mind to get there. There are many pastors who are not renewed. There are many bishops who are not renewed. There are many apostles who are not renewed. So the reason they are slaves of flesh is because the mindsets are wrong. And so the way to deal with it is to constantly look into the mirror of liberty. And they are transformed to become what they see. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into that image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. So two ways to deal with the flesh quickly is what? To cast down imaginations. Second way to deal with the flesh is what? To renew your mind. My brother, sometimes it will take 8 months for you to renew your mind. It's not child's play. It will take sometimes 2 years of eating the scriptures, looking at the scriptures day and night to renew your mind. This is why it's a labor. This is why it's called the cross of Christ. Because now you know you are saved. Now you know you are forgiven. But there is an appetite that doesn't want to die. So what you do is that you sit on the scripture. You dig into the scripture until the scripture forces you to undergo metamorphosis. The way a butterfly changes from an egg to a larva, to a pupa, before it becomes a butterfly. That's what you will do by the word. And so sometimes you change your mind to a degree, the appetite is mortified. As you go out and mingle for 2 weeks, the appetite comes again. It means you have not reached butterfly stage. You are still a larva. You will sit there until you graduate from an egg to a larva to a pupa until you become a butterfly. There are many people, if they see money, their body starts shaking. Because the moment they see money, they start thinking 1,001 things. You will go and die. And the way you will do it is that you will eat the scripture until it will down on you that money is not what brings you satisfaction. You will know that every money that comes to your hand is an entrustment from God because you are a kingdom steward. And if you come to a point where you know that the money is not yours, you are no longer moved by money. But you can never get there until by meditation you have tamed those appetites. Many people have not casted down imagination. Jesus was warning his disciples. He said, take no thought, saying, take no thought, because people carry thoughts every day. This is why the flesh is powerful. You know that you are having weaknesses around women. And every day you are on YouTube looking at videos of women. Every day you are on Facebook looking at videos of women. You are empowering the flesh. If you know that that is your weakness, you will have to starve that appetite. So a point will come when you may need to give your phone as a seed and you go and buy a touchlight phone for 2 years. While you are starving that appetite, you are meditating on scripture. It will be difficult. It will be like blood coming out of your body. But it's called what? Carrying your cross and following him. You are carrying your cross. If you carry that cross for a long time, a point will come when the same way Jesus was mutilated, you will be mutilated. And when they look at you, like Jesus, he will say, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. Because the flesh have ensured that you have been decimated. Many have not won the battle of flesh. And the reason is because they've refused to carry their cross. The first thing the cross does is that what? You are crucified. You say, I am crucified with Christ. Make no mistakes about it. Christ is not only crucified for you. If Christ is crucified for you, your salvation cannot be complete. You too must be crucified with Christ. That is where the flesh equation comes in. You starve the appetite while you stuff the spirit man. Too many people have allowed their flesh go on rampage. The second force that wants to make you an unreasonable Christian is the world. That's the second enemy of the believer. Is the word. The word is a gate of a spirit called the spirit of this age. And what the spirit of this age comes to do through worldliness is to blind your eyes. He said, if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they should see the image of Christ, who is the invincible God. So when worldliness comes to a man, it is not just about the desires. It's about a strategy to blind him. And in Ephesians 4:18, it said that when they are blinded, they are exonerated from the commonwealth of Israel. So when the devil wants to separate you from what is yours, he will come through worldliness. I've said it again and again. You'll find a Christian listening to secular music, and then you confront him and say, is it a sin? It's not a sin, but it's worldliness. And if you continue for a while, your eyes will become blinded to the things of the spirit. And if your eyes become blinded, after a while, you will be exonerated from the commonwealth of Israel. So the things that is our corporate inheritance, you can no longer access it. It's an enemy of the believer. Worldliness is so subtle, you may not even notice it. It begins with wearing a jean that is torn. And when they ask you, say, that's reigning fashion. Is it fornication? No, it's not fornication. Is it lying? No, it's not. But it's worldliness. After a while, you will discover that your prayer life begins to go down. You won't know what is happening, because when you open that gate, you have made a room for the devil. And the Bible said in Ephesians 4:27, it says, giving no place to the devil. One of the ways to give place to the spirit that blinds men is through worldliness. That's why when the sisters begin to dress half naked, They don't know when they become arrogant. They think they are trying to defend their womanhood. From arrogance, they become bold. From boldness, they become immoral. From immorality, they become pregnant. From pregnancy, they become abortors. And from abortion, they lose their womb. And they didn't know that it was a slippery ground that was luring them. The guy begins by babbing a particular kind of hairstyle because that's what is raining. After a while, he picks up the language from the street. After a while, the language begins to influence his thought pattern. After a while, he finds himself on the street. After a while, he sees himself smoking in their hand. After a while, church becomes a place for Jew people. And after a while, he's shot dead under the bridge. And he doesn't know what happened. It's called worldliness. You are blinded until you are killed. The way to deal with the flesh is to bring your thoughts to captivity and to renew your mind. The way to deal with worldliness, number one, is to come out from among them. In Isaiah chapter 52 verse 11, he said, come out from among them. He said, touch not the unclean thing. He said, they that bear the vessels of God must be clean. We don't participate with worldliness. The difference between us and the world is clear. When you come to a place, your utterances are different from the utterances of the world. When you are dressed, your dress is different from the people of the world. This is not legalism. This is modesty. This is walking as one saved and properly saved. You come to the church today, the guest music minister is dancing and everything you are seeing is the steps in the club. Pursue that kind of person from your altar. He will desecrate it. He may be the most popular musician. Don't invite him. He is carrying a wrong spirit. I was watching recently a global music concert, one of the biggest in the world. And the person who was worshiping, he called it worship. But those of us who are spiritually discerning, we know it's not worship. We know it's performance. And we know it's of another spirit. And while he was worshiping, he was doing like this. After a while, he started doing like this. I said, what kind of worship is this? Somebody now said, no, he choked me. He choked me. What is he choked me? You know it. Okay. On a global scale, when you see such a man, know that he's already blind. He doesn't know what God is saying. He is a worldly person. And give him room, you will discover that he will sleep with four of the sisters before you wake up. I'm not talking about you can do what you feel like doing as far as the Holy Ghost permits it. You can wear a tight trouser. You can keep your beard. You can dress as far as you want if it is modest. But if you are part of a beard gang, you are worldly. Because one is what you want to do. Another one is an influence of a strange spirit. So I'm not talking about dress code. I'm not giving you a dress code. But I'm telling you, he said, love not the world. He said, they that love the world, he said, the love of the Father is not in them. Their verdict has already been passed. The moment you fall in love with the world, the love of the Father leaves your heart. 1 John 5:2-15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh. That means those who are worldly, they are powered by their desires. He said, the lust of the eyes. And he said, the pride of life. When those indicators are what powers you, you have become worldly. And if you have become worldly, it means the prince of this world is on your matter to blind you. But the way to deal with worldliness is what? Come out from among them. Somebody will need to leave here and go and change his or her wardrobe. It's called what? Come out from among them. Somebody will leave here and go and divide, bond the bridge between him and some friends. Or between her and some friend. What is it called? Come out from among them. The Bible said concerning Daniel and his friend, he said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We are not careful. They are rugged and dogged about their consecration to God. He said, they proposed in their heart, Daniel 1 verse 8, not to defy themselves with the king's maid. Too many believers are part of them. You sing their song, you dance their dance, you talk their language, that's why you are blinded. And if you want to really maximize the cross, the first thing the cross will do is to crucify the world to you and crucify you to the world. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. He said, I am crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. So if I go to the beer parlor and sit down now, even the people in the world will know I don't belong here. I have come out of among them so much, I don't look like them. If you still touch the unclean thing, you will not be meet for the master's use. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 18, he said, in a great house, there are vessels. He says, some are unto honor, some are unto dishonor. He said, if a man purges himself, then he is meet, qualified to be used for the master. Many people are too worldly for God to use them. That's why they receive an impartation. He dies after 2 days. The best show of some Christians is Big Brother Niger, where they legalize pornography. And they sit there in the morning, they are watching. They don't know they are sending corruption and decadence into their soul. 3 years ago, when a single lady slept with a man, it was an abomination. 2 years ago, a married woman slept with a man. So now, when single ladies sleep with a man, it's no longer a sin. It's the married one that is now a sin. Next year, the next edition that will come, anybody that wants should do anything. And what you don't know is that there is a tolerance level in your mind now that when a single person sleeps with another single person who is not married on national television, is normal. And you don't know that the temperature of God in your spirit has gone down. It's because you don't know the cross. If you know the cross, you will come out from among them. Those things don't move you because you will despise it. The Bible spoke concerning God. He said, thou, O Lord, out of a purer eyes. He said, your eyes cannot behold iniquity. Job said, I have a covenant with my God. My eyes will not look upon the virgin. Those are men that are doggedly separated from the world. This kind, they can bear the vessels of God. He said, if you are not clean, you cannot bear the vessels of God. Worldly men don't know what the oracles of God entails. Consecration will separate you from the world. Christianity is not drama. It is a spirit living out through a man. The name of that spirit is the Holy Ghost. The second way to deal with the world is to disciple them. Matthew 28 verse 18. Go into all the world and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them all that you have learned from me. If your classmate is a smoker and you become a smoker, he discipled you. If your friend is a womanizer and you become a womanizer, he discipled you. If your friend is a drunk and you become a drunk, he discipled you. So many believers have been discipled by the world. Instead of us teaching them modest dressing, we now take away our modest dress and we start wearing rag. And then you see a pastor come to church. His trouser is not on his waist, it's here. Nowadays, what pastors do is that they appear with Gucci trouser, Gucci shirt, Gucci watch, Gucci necklace, Gucci sneakers. And when they are preaching, they are doing like this. Because they are feeling like Eminem, Snoop Dogg. You see a pastor doing like this. Do you know his father in the Lord? His father in the Lord is Puff Daddy. That's why he dressed like him and acts like him. Because he's a discipler of the world system. But when you see a man who disciples the world, when you look at him, you know where he's coming from. He's a member of the ecclesia. He represents a constituency in the spirit. And when he shows up, you dare not come around him. He will contaminate what you came with. There are some who carry wisdom that you cannot defy, like Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon. Babylon could not corrupt him. They knew him for that record. When the king was confused, they said, go and look for Daniel. He said, in him is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. He said, light and understanding dwells with this Daniel. He has the ability to explain hard sentences. And when Daniel showed up, they saw a writing that wrote on the wall that could not be explained. And so, when they knew that this wisdom is beyond the worldly, they had to look for the man that dwelt in the cave. And when Daniel showed up, he came like a wise man because they could not even read the writing. The reason is because that writing came from an alien world. And only the men who are separated enough can understand the language and the code of the realm beyond the Shamayim. And when Daniel came, his separation was not a guise. He showed up and he didn't read the writing. He first of all began to tell the king how he has erred. Because at the time Daniel showed up, the Bible said the king's leg was shaking. Because when you see a man who is blazing with holiness, if he appears, he comes with the government of the realm where he represents. And when he talks, the weight and the glory of that realm follows him. He said, God blessed your father and gave him a kingdom that is from one end of the earth to another. He said, but you decided to worship the God of stone and the God of iron that have no life in themselves. He said, therefore is this hand come. Mene, mene. Take care of our sin. And he began to interpret it. What was written in seven letters, interpretation was a sentence. Because what you call a code on earth is a language in the spirit. And he said, Mene, you have been weighed in the balances. Take care. He said, you have been found wanting. Overseen, he said, tonight, your kingdom shall be divided from you among the Medes and the Persians. And when Daniel walked away, even the princes of Babylon knew that there was an ancient man among them. Because this one is not of earth. When men of the kingdom show up, the Bible said in Isaiah 55 verse 10, it said the trees of the field will clap their hands because we are the real stars of the world. The world is not supposed to be a star to us. We are the stars. It said the trees, because we are called the trees of righteousness. So the trees of the field are the peoples of the world. He said when we show up, they should clap. That's why Isaiah said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and for wonders. So when you show up, the world should be waiting for the next lesson. That's why he said, in the last day, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, Micah chapter 4 verse 1, he said, the house of the Lord shall be upon the mountains of the Lord. He said, men of every nation shall say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord, that they may teach us the ways of God. He said, out of Zion proceeds the law. In Obadiah 1:21, he says, Savior shall come from Mount Zion to teach the mountains of Ephesus the way that he should live. How come we have become disciples of the world system? It's because the world has entered our spirit. Today, somebody will be purged of the world. And one thing the cross came to do is to remove the lust of the world from your spirit. Because those things you desire that is not of the Holy Spirit is about to be removed from your inside. We are not intoxicated by the lust of the flesh. We are not intoxicated by the lust of the eyes. We are not intoxicated by the pride of life. He said, be not drunk with wine. Wherein is excess? He said, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. There is something that intoxicates us. They are the lights beyond the stars. They are the wisdom that are tied in scrolls beyond time. And so a point comes through your separation from the world. Sometimes you journey in the Spirit. And they introduce you to wise men of old. Sometimes you enter the spirit realm and they bring you to the room of scrolls where the secrets of God are kept. And then when they open a scroll to you, some scrolls are about aeons that have existed before time. And some scrolls are about the world that is to come. This is why when Paul heard it, he said these things are unlawful to be uttered among men. Because some of the things Paul saw, they were not part of the earthly syllabus. They are part of the creation that should come when this creation is over. So you can't alter it in this creation because those are laws of another dispensation. But through intimacy, the man journeyed out of time and he touched things that are beyond, things that are yonder. How come you are distracted by this noisy world? You have not tasted of the glory that is to come. The Bible spoke of the powers of the ages to come. They say we are supposed to wield those powers now. But because the world have encircled and encumbered us, we have fallen into time. A generation will rise that the world cannot corrupt. When they show up, they will teach the world how to live their lives. Because these ones have power over the cosmos. They have power over the ions. And the God of this world cannot blindfold them. Because they hear sounds and echo from eternity. They hear music from another realm. Hope you know that music is not about keyboard. Music is not about a drum. When the cherub was analyzed in the courts of heaven, the Bible said, thy taps and thy tabrets were in thee from the day you were created. There are certain music that are the strings of the heart of God. And so when God is in a mood, you will hear a sound from heaven. It will fill the atmosphere. And when you find out what is happening, they will tell you they are worshiping the monarch. demonic. When you hear those sounds, nothing on earth can move you. Men are not separated. That's why they are lost in the noise of this world. He said, come up hither. I will show you the things hereafter. The man had exhausted the syllables of time. He wanted to show him things of another dispensation. Come up hither. And when he was touring heaven, he heard the voice of the seven thunder. He wanted to write. He said, no, don't write it. This one is not for men. This one is for people that can cross the dispensations. Men that can leave earth into Zion. Those are the ones that have the right to look upon these sacred oracles. You don't know the things that are meant for your advantage. He said, eyes have not seen. He said, ears have not heard. Neither has he entered the heart of man the things God has in stock for they that love him. Do you know the sounds of heaven? Have you seen the light that is brighter than the sun? Have you heard the echoes from the courts where the spirit of judgment made perfect legislate the purposes of God? Have you come to that place where you see the stones that beam like the crystals of eternity? Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And his glory, he filled the temple. And while he looked upon that glory, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I have mingled with the world system. And the way they purged him, he said, one of the seraphims took a tongue and picked one of the coals from the midst of the fire and touched his tongue. And he said, now you are purged. So you can touch a stone that purifies you. There are sounds you hear that you are translated. He said he heard a sound and a whirlwind took him to heaven. That means sounds are not for entertainment. Because in that realm, sound is an instrument of transport. And so there are certain sounds you hear and you find yourself in another dispensation. You see, I heard a voice as of a trumpet, and as I turned, a door opened, and suddenly before him, he saw seven golden lampstands. That means the sound is not for music. The sound is not for entertainment. The sound is a vehicle of transport. You don't know the things that are meant for us. Don't let the world distract you. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. He said, they that bear the vessels of God, they must be holy. The first time I saw the heavens, oh, the Shamayim. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. The game is about the atmosphere of the other realm, the realm yonder. When you see the things that are beyond the skies, you will know that earth is corrupt. Yeah. It was on one of my transport days into the spirit that they taught me that the office of the apostle, his primary role is not in time. It was in one of my journeys to Zion that they told me that when an apostle completes his assignment, he becomes an angel in the world to come, because an apostle is a messenger. It was on one of those journeys that I was taught that the job of a prophet is not word of knowledge. It's a prophet is a symbol of righteousness to a generation. So he carries the jealousy of God and the judgments of God. This is why prophets judge, because when they show up, they bring the judgments of Zion. And he said, when a prophet is accurate, when his assignment is fulfilled on earth, he becomes an elder in the world to come. The office of a prophet is the office of an elder. But it takes separation. Hope you know that when Jesus was about to die, Moses and Elijah came. And they were telling him what he should do in Jerusalem. Because those are elders of this age. By the office of the prophet, they have entered the seat of elders. When you go to heaven in the next dispensation, you will see them on thrones. Who told you that there is an advantage in time? Earth is a distraction. The pursuit of the mundane is a deception. Wise men hunt for dimensions in the spirit. That's why Jesus said, knock. He said, ask, knock, and seek. Because they are virgin dimensions. Thank God for how far Paul went, but there are things that Paul had never seen.
Thank God for how far Enoch went. But there are things that Enoch have not seen. So when we begin to seek, like spiritual archaeologists, we are searching for the virgin dimensions of the spirit. Because for every generation, there is a heritage. And that's why I say from the time of John, there were elders before John, but John wrestled in the spirit until he became the custodian of his dispensation. And the whole era was willed to John. He said from the time of John, such men have no time for the destruction of the world. That's why he said in Luke 1:8, he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. He was seeking the things that eyes cannot see. He was seeking the things that ears cannot hear. The things that only the spirit unveils. Hey, yeah. The enemy of the cross is the world system. It's not about fashion. It's about your soul. He wants to eat up your soul. And that's why Peter said, flee fleshly lust that war against your soul. When you understand the cross, you will be crucified to the world. And the world will be crucified to you. You still love the world, you are not ready to journey deep. The third enemy of the cross is Satan. The way to deal with Satan is twofold. Number one, in James chapter 4 verse 7, it says submit to God. Submit to God. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, submit to God. If you are still struggling with the Holy Spirit, you are a prey. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. That means without the Holy Spirit, in the battle arena, you are like wheat before the devil. Your weight in the spirit is your consecration to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what makes you a heavy molecule that the devil can't carry. And so the first way to deal with Satan is to submit to God. When the Holy Ghost gives you instruction and you still rebel, you are not aware of the princes that walk in the corridors of the spirit realm. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. There are spirits that are called wickedness. Their name is what? Wickedness. When you allow them to have hold over you, they will mess your existence up. And this is why wise men hide. They say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run therein and they are saved. And the way you run to the name of the Lord is through dogged submission in the place of prayer. Because him that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. The second way to fight the devil is to resist him. He said, resist him. He will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? It's not just to say in the name of Jesus, get out. It's not a demon. You rebuke demons because they don't have bodies. Satan is a fallen angel. You don't cast him out. He walked up to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. The way to resist the devil is with the scriptures, the rhema word of God. That's why I say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, every proceeding word of God. If you don't have the word of God in your spirit, you will be like chaff before the wind. You want to appropriate the cross through consecration, you must deal with the flesh. Through separation, you must deal with the world. And through submission to the Holy Spirit, you must deal with Satan. That is when truly you become victorious in life. If you don't, when we meet in heaven, you will know what you missed. God bless you. A day will come when we will teach the syllables of the ages to come. I will tell you who teachers become when the word ends. I will tell you who pastors become, and I will tell you who evangelists become. And then I will tell you what every other leader in the body of Christ can become. There are certain men that in the next dispensation, they will wield nations to them. The Bible said, they that overcome, they shall dwell in the New Jerusalem. He said, the street of that world will be made of gold. And he said, the tree of the New Jerusalem shall be for the healing of the nations. That means there are those who will be in the nations, and there are those who will be in the New Jerusalem. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 46, he said, they that overcome, I will give power over the nations. So there are men that nations will be wielded to them in the ages to come. Don't mess with your life. Earth is not where we live. It is in the yonder that life begins. What we are doing here is an opportunity for reward. Fight the good fight of faith.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.